Lord, teach us what we are to know. Show us what we are to do to be your disciples. Amen. I was not very athletic as a child. I was the one who was picked last on the playground whenever there was a pickup game. I never belonged to any of the teams that they had at school. I didn't belong to anything in the community when they had softball. I wasn't there. I just wasn't a very athletic kid. I took swimming lessons at school 3 times. Never learned. That was in elementary school. And I don't think I ever thought much about physical activity as a kind of a pursuit until I was in my adulthood. And, I got into the YMCA and I liked exercise classes and that kind of thing. I was hiking and biking with my friends. You know, it was more a social event than anything else. And then at the ripe old age of 35, I learned to swim. I really liked to swim. It was relaxing. I had a very stressful job. It was relaxing. It was, no one could get me while I was in the pool. And it turned out to be a social event, too, because I joined the master swimmers. You know, master swimmers, master doesn't mean you've mastered it. It means you're old. So I joined the master swimmers, and that was kind of a social event. We'd have, you know, cookouts, and we'd get together, and we'd exchange stories, and we'd do our dry land training together. And it was really, really fun. I liked it a lot. Did it for many, many years. Still do sometimes. And I learned some things in swimming that are true in life, too. The first thing I learned, which was the source of my problem in learning to swim, was don't hold your breath. That was, as soon as someone broke me of that, I was on my way. And then I learned that in order to do swimming properly, or maybe any sport really, you needed to practice a lot. You had to break things down. You had to do tiny little parts of a stroke. You had to do dry land training, which means you pretended you were swimming, but you weren't really in water, to try to exercise the muscles properly. Yeah, I learned that too. And I learned relax. Relax. This is supposed to be fun. And then, a few years ago, I had a really stressful time in my life, a very challenging period, and I wondered if I should find a new activity, and so I did. They were advertising these kickboxing clubs all over the place, and I thought, oh, that's what I really need to do is, like, hit something or kick something. That'll really help me out. Turns out that's not what boxing is about. It's not about getting your aggression out. It's a sport like another. It's a science. It's an art. And for the purposes of this homily, we're going to leave the violence part out of it. Okay, I haven't reconciled that yet. I'm a boxer, but I haven't figured that the violence part out yet. So, at any rate, I started learning boxing, and it turns out that boxing has only really one purpose that has 2 parts. One, you hit people. You hit the opponent. That gives you points, you know, whatever way you hit them. And then you try not to get hit. That's all there is to it. And most people, when I was learning, I've been in a couple of gyms and had a couple of coaches, most newbies come in and they want to learn how to hit. They want to jab, they want to punch, they want to do every kind of new punch. And they forget about defense, because it doesn't matter how good you are at offense. If you don't have any defense, you're going to get hit sooner or later. So it's not only about the punching. Every time you punch, there's a defensive move to it. When I hit you, I'm protecting my face with my shoulder, like that. That's defense. There's also specific defense. I can just move around so you can't catch me. There's, of course, the slipping. Your jab comes here, I move over. I move over that way if it's over here. Sometimes I duck. I duck a lot because I'm short. That works for me. But I learned in boxing that there are several lessons that have to do with life. Don't hold your breath. My coach says that to me all the time. Breathe. Don't bite your lip, which is what I do. You have to work really hard at little things to get good. You have to jump rope round after round. 3 minutes on, 30 seconds off. 3 minutes on, 30 seconds off. About 20 of those. Push-ups. Road work. Go out and do 3 miles, come back and see me, and we'll start. All the little things. So the whole learning of it takes time and effort, and sometimes it is really boring. And finally, relax. Relax. When someone moves around the ring really rigid, they're going to get hurt. But if they're loose, you're not going to get me. So Paul knew about boxing. He didn't really know about boxing, I don't think. He knew about offense and defense, though. When he wrote that letter to the Ephesians, you know, Alan helped us understand the layout of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters in it. Chapters 1 through 3 tells us all about the theology. What did God do for us? Who was Jesus? Who are we to Jesus? How does it all work? Salvation story. Chapters 4 through 6, the famous so what question of a sermon, meaning what do we do now? What do we do about it? Now that we know that, what do we do? Telling all about how to behave with each other in Christian community. And finally, when he gets to the end, which is today, chapter 6, he's at his final exhortation. And he's talking about a certain kind of fighting. He's talking about fighting, he's talking about offense, and he's talking about defense. But Paul is talking about a serious spiritual warfare. He's not just talking about any fight in a ring, 12 rounds, and then it's over. He's talking about spiritual warfare. And so it's natural that he goes to the armor of God. He's looking for the armor of God and what that is made of. And what it's made of is the belt of truth is first. He's trying to give the people of Ephesus, anyone who reads this letter, some idea of how to make yourself ready to go into the world. What do you have to practice? What do you have to do to be out there and to live as a disciple of Christ? So the belt of truth teaches us, well, tell the truth. Tell the truth about yourself. Tell the truth to your family. Tell your truth to the world. Tell your truth and be truthful. That's the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, talking about right relationships, my relationship with you, my relationship with my spouse, with my children, with people I meet on the street. What is that relationship about? Healthy relationships, getting that under control, working on that. The helmet of salvation. Salvation, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. I think most of the part of the helmet of salvation is the accepting of it. It's almost like it's placed on us. And it's the acceptance because we can't earn it. We know that it's a gift. And the shoes of peace, to not look for a fight, not only to not look for a fight, to go somewhere and make peace. How about if we were the ones who went in when there was a conflict and helped it become resolved? How about if we were the ones who refrain from starting one, even if we were right? That one's hard for me. The shield of faith, to trust God, to know that God is there, that God loves us. That's a gift of faith, because we can't prove it, scientifically anyway. So that's a gift of faith, to have that with us. And the sword of the Spirit, that the Scriptures are given to us and the Holy Spirit is given to us for guidance, that we have all these things that are preparing us for battle, for offense, for defense, for whatever it is we need. Now, here's the most, to me, important thing about the Roman armor. The armor was great. It was wonderful for a person to put it on, and he could defend himself against any warrior one-on-one. But the design of the Roman armor was that you put your armor on and you were next to each other. Your armor was on and your person on your right and on your left were with you. I want you to imagine, I know you've seen this picture of a Roman army coming over a hill where all of the shields just look like one and they're all marching together with their helmets and holding their swords. That was the purpose of Paul using the armor of God, because it meant you're not alone. This is a community event. This is what we do together. And that is where he got his idea for the armor, I think. And it makes us ask, what opportunities do we have to proclaim peace? What opportunities do we have to resolve conflict, to tell the truth, to keep the faith? And I think that Paul taught us through the armor the same thing that my coach taught me in boxing. Because Paul says this, the last thing he says to them as he's getting ready to wrap this all up: keep alert and persevere. Keep awake. Keep attentive. Be ready for anything. Amen.